We need some candy now.
All right, it's time for our catechism. This is a segment that we take each morning to go over a summary of religious doctrine, often in the form of questions and answers. That is a catechism. So what I do is ask a question, and then the kids are to repeat back the answer that we've gone over and learned. Then we've got some hand motions that go along with those. So you'll catch on quickly, and I would you're going to learn these with us here this morning. I'm going to concentrate on you guys because they don't know these yet. All right, so let's start with, who is Jesus? Adam. Nope, that's God. Who is Jesus? Excellent. Excellent job. All right, what Adam said is God the Son, Messiah, who came in the flesh. Who is Jesus? God the Son, Messiah, who came in the flesh. All right, everyone join in. Let's do that together. Do the motions with us too, please. Who is Jesus? God the Son, Messiah, who came in the flesh. Excellent. Excellent. All right, how does God exist? You can tell me that one. Lola? Excellent. Good job. Good job. How does God exist? God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one. That's what we call the Trinity. So let's say that one together. How does God exist? God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one. All right. What's the one we practiced just the last few weeks? What is the punishment for sin? You can remember that one. Sarah, you remember that one? Very good. Good job. You guys are doing awesome. All right, what is the punishment for sin? It's death and eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. All right, what's the punishment for sin? Death and eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Let's do one more. What does sovereign mean? What does sovereign mean? Remember that one? You don't remember that one? Josiah, you've done this one before. You don't remember it? All right, no candy for you. All right, what does sovereign mean? God is king. He does what he pleases and knows what's best for me. What does sovereign mean? God is king. He does what he pleases and knows what's best for me. Obviously, we need to do it again over here. What does sovereign mean? God is king. He does what he pleases and knows what's best for me. Great job, guys. All right, let's do some announcements. Eli? Come on, guys.
The main mission offering will go to the CCD to sponsor classes at the Mango Bay campus. Please use missions offering envelope.
Crew Arrows in a One on Wednesday. Awards night in the auditorium on Wednesday, May 29th at 6:30. Please plan to come.
It's not too late to register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Retreat on May 31st to June 1st. Information is in your bulletin.
If you have a birthday 2 weeks before this Sunday or 2 weeks after this Sunday,
Raise your hand,
yeah.
All right, now you have to come forward then. If your birthday is 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after, you need to come forward. Get the game stuff out, guys. All right, so we play a game where you have opportunity to win a nice, crisp $2 bill. You'll be given three ping pong balls. And you have to ring at least one of them in our little bucket over here. If you do that, you win a $2 bill. Come on up. Don't be shy. You have to wear the hat. The hat is part of the fun. Can you make it?
I got a band.
All right, brother. Them birthdays coming quicker and quicker, aren't they?
Older and older.
That's how it is, isn't it? That's how it is. All right, Dan, come ahead. Why don't y'all come on up? Some bounce, some throw it straight in. Three tries. It's got to go in the bucket. Ouch. All right, but you do get to, as they're trying, once they finish, there's a couple of sticks in the little yellow bucket that are labeled with the color of each one of the buckets with candy in it, whether it be yellow, pink, or blue. So then they get to pick a piece of candy out of one of those buckets. I did add some chocolate and some other things that you adults might enjoy. So close. Runaway ping pong ball. Come on. Ah.
It can't go nowhere, is it?
All right, excellent. Valiant effort, gentlemen. All right, now we're going to embarrass you and sing happy birthday.
Now we're going to sing happy birthday to you. So if you can come and stand right here. Up front here where everybody can see you.
Jason, this headache wants to stay on my head.
And when we get to the part where we say their names, we're just going to say God loves you. All right? So ready on the count of three. Y'all got to sing loud, okay? Because I don't have a whole lot of you. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday. God loves you. Happy birthday to you. Woo! Thank you, y'all. Be seated. At this time, I'm going to ask for all the kids to come up on stage and join me up here. You as adults, if you're welcome to come up on stage if you want to. We're going to sing and worship the Lord this morning. And we've got some motions to the songs we're going to do. And we ask that you please participate with us. So at this time, if I could have everybody to stand. All right, y'all going to have to come up front just a little bit so they can see you and spread out so you don't whack each other. Okay? All right, Eli.
Revolution somehow. Still got Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
Thank you, and I'll be seated now.
All right, that gets your blood moving in the morning, doesn't it? Remember the response thing from earlier? That gets your blood moving in the morning, doesn't it? Yes, thank you very much. I have to have response or I don't do good. So keep that in mind. All right, you guys are doing awesome catching up. Don't forget about the clouds and the kites and all that stuff. All righty. At this point, we're going to go over our big picture question. So we go through different units talking about different subjects. Like we did a series on Jesus' miracles. We're currently working on the last week of Jesus' life right now. So our big picture question, why do believers share the Lord's Supper? You want to try it, Stacy? And two. Very close. Very close. Let's go to the answer, Eli. Why do believers share the Lord's Supper? This is one of those you have to know because we've been working on it. Believers share the Lord's Supper to remember Jesus' life and death and to proclaim Him until He returns. Okay, you were very close, Stacy. Good job. Pay close attention to that because you might need to know it here a little bit later. So believers share the Lord's Supper to remember Jesus' life and death and to proclaim Him until He returns. All right, this morning our main point, Eli, is Jesus and the disciples ate the first Lord's Supper at Passover. All right, so we have a video, a lesson video, so watch that really close because when it's done, we're going to have some candy questions afterward.
Disciples went into the city to prepare the Passover meal. When the meal was ready, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. Jesus knew his time on earth was almost over, and he would soon return to the Father in heaven. Jesus got up from the table, laid aside his outer robe, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began washing his disciples' feet. In Bible times, a servant would wash someone's feet when he entered a house. Jesus, the King of Kings, was doing what a servant would do. Peter did not want Jesus to wash his feet. "He will never wash my feet, ever," Peter said. Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Peter said, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus told Peter, "The one who is bathed only needs to wash his feet because he is already clean." Jesus wasn't talking about physical cleanliness. He was talking about someone who has been forgiven of his sins by repenting and trusting in Jesus. A Christian should repent when he sins, but he only needs to receive salvation once. When Jesus had washed his disciples' feet and put on his robe, he reclined at the table and said, "Do you understand what I have done? You call me teacher and Lord. I have given you an example to follow. You should wash one another's feet." Jesus was telling the disciples to serve one another. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. Jesus said, "Take it and eat it. This is my body." Then he took a cup and gave thanks. He gave it to his disciples and said, "All of you drink from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." After the supper, Jesus and his disciples sang songs and went to the Mount of Olives. At the Passover, Jesus shared his last meal with the disciples before his death and resurrection. Jesus said that his death would establish a new covenant. God's people had broken the old covenant. and God promised to make a new covenant to forgive sins. God forgives the sins of those who trust in His Son, Jesus.
All right, we'll see how close attention you were paying to that. Here's a question for you. What did Jesus do that a servant would normally do? Randall? He washed His disciples' feet. That's exactly right. Now, tell the kids, candy doesn't fly straight. Okay? As hard as I try, it doesn't fly straight. So don't interfere with it. We'll do the best we can with it. All right, you'll have to grab that in a minute. All right. So how did Peter react when Jesus washed his feet? Got to raise your hand. How did Peter react when Jesus washed his feet? That's exactly right. He didn't believe that Jesus should be washing his feet. Why did Jesus wash their feet? Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? This side, I usually try to alternate sides. Kids are a little more reactive. See their hands? See? See how they're doing? This is what we're looking for. Adam, why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Lola? That's one of the reasons. Yep, Lola was talking about, Jesus wasn't talking about physical cleanliness, but spiritual cleanliness. That's one of the reasons. I'll take that. What I was thinking about was, Miss Michelle? That's right. Miss Michelle showed pretty much the same example as Lola did, talking about the spiritual cleanliness. He's also showing his humility and teaching them how they were to lead his church. Okay, what did the cup symbolize? You ought to get this one. What did the cup symbolize? Jesus' blood. That's exactly right. The cup symbolizes Jesus' blood. All right, here's our lesson time. So here's the time when we sit up and listen close. Okay, so we've been talking about Jesus' last week before His death. On Jesus' way to Jerusalem, Mary poured expensive oil on Him, right, and anointed Him for burial. Then we talked about how Jesus cleansed the temple and drove out those that were dishonoring it. And now today we're going to talk about the Last Supper. Anyone have any idea why this is called the Last Supper? No? Josiah? That's exactly right. Josiah said it wouldn't be long before Jesus would die. This is His last meal. So we call this the Last Supper. All right. So who can tell me why Jesus and His disciples were traveling to Jerusalem? We've talked about this the last few weeks. What was the reason why they were traveling to Jerusalem, Stacy? For the Passover feast. That's exactly right. They were traveling there for the Passover. There were some other reasons too, obviously, but that was the main reason they were going to celebrate the Passover. So, something else we do in Kids Club is Reese Cup questions. Okay? And the kids enjoy this, obviously. Reese Cup questions are a little more than just a yes or no answer, and usually it's from a few lessons back. So, I need someone to tell me, and the adults can do this one too, because hopefully you know this answer. Who can tell me a little bit about the very first Passover? Just describe to me a few things about the very first Passover. All right, who hasn't bear? No, you haven't got a candy yet.
Whatever.
Exactly right. Good job. Good job. So, what Seth said was, is when the angel of death came, they had to kill a one-year-old lamb, spread the blood on the doorpost and on top of their door, and they were to eat in haste. So they ate unleavened bread. They weren't to wait on time for their bread to rise. So they ate unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They also had their sandals on their feet and their staff in their hand, symbolized their quick departure from Egypt. All right, so that was about 1,500 years. If we had our timeline, we'd be pointing at where we were in here. So from Jesus' death, we'll put that at the pole, say, Jesus' death. So we're back here about the flag, all right, about 1,500 years before Jesus' death. That's when this occurred, this very first Passover. And every year after that, the Jews would celebrate with a special meal, and they had lots of traditions where they ate unleavened bread and had a number of cups, different drinks that they would drink, and so on. So this is where they are. This is where they've gathered. If you can imagine that room with Jesus gathered with His disciples. And Jesus knew it was time for Him to die. So He sat down with His disciples for the Passover meal. And it was, Jesus did something here that wasn't a part of the normal traditional meal. Something very unusual. So let's grab your Bibles. I told you you need your Bible. And let's look up the book of John, chapter 13. John chapter 13, that's in the New Testament, verse 3 through 5. Remember, the easy way to find the New Testament is to split your Bible exactly in half, and you'll be in Psalms or Proverbs. All right? And then take the part on the right and split it in half. And when you do that, most of the time you're in Matthew or real close to it. All right? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're in John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. You'll see a couple of the kids are standing up because they're doing that because they're ready to read. Alright, so John 13, verses 3 through 5. We typically ask everyone to stand in honor of reading God's Word, so I'm going to ask everyone to do that. We don't do this because of the tradition of it. We do this to teach the kids respect for God's Word. So Stacy, I'm going to let you read John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, nice and loud for us.
Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything, and that He had come from God and would return to God. So He got up from the table, took off His robe, wrapped a towel around His waist, and poured water into a basin. Then He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel He had around them.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. So they're sitting around the table, and Jesus gets up, doesn't say a word to anybody. He just gets up and wraps a towel around Himself. He gets a basin of water, pours from a pitcher into this basin of water, and He starts going around and washing His disciples' feet. And I'm sure they had their same reaction you just did. Complete silence. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Jesus washing all of the disciples' feet. Remember that Jesus said that I and the Father are one. So that is like our how does God exist? Catechism. How does God exist? You tell me that one, Josiah? That's exactly right. Trinity. God exists in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these three are one. Excuse me, the beginning of it was evading me there. This is God that's sitting before the disciples. This is the Creator of the universe, the Creator of the world, is kneeling down before a man and doing something that only a servant would do. Now, they would even get the servants that weren't Jews to do this job. So typically, what would happen is when you come over to someone's house, a servant would meet you at the door and they would take off your sandals. Everyone wore sandals back in those days. And remember how we've seen pictures of Israel, how dusty and dirty it is. So everybody's feet would get dirty from walking around. So when you came into someone's house, a servant would meet you, put some water in a bowl, and they would clean your feet for you. This is when that typically happens. Okay, so Jesus is doing it a little bit differently. He's doing it to show His humbleness in leadership. And when He got to Peter, you can imagine Peter, he's nervous about this whole thing. Because Peter's been calling Jesus Lord and teacher. And then he's seeing Jesus doing something that only the lowest servant would do. So Peter's sitting there going, watching Jesus go from disciple to disciple, he's sitting there thinking, I'm not going to let Him wash my feet. So when Jesus gets there, he says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, well, you won't have any part in me if you do not wash my feet, if you don't let me wash you. And Peter says, you have to wash my whole body then. And Jesus says, well, we've touched on earlier, Jesus says, well, if you've been washed, if you've had a bath, you don't need to be washed again. Only your feet need to be washed. Interesting, isn't it? So then Peter allowed Jesus to wash his feet. So what in the world was Jesus talking about? Jesus was saying, when you've had a bath, when you've been redeemed, once you've taken, accepted Jesus' once and for all sacrifice and become a Christian, that's your bath. You've been cleansed. But even as a believer, we still have to go before Jesus humbly and allow Him to wash our feet. Now, that doesn't mean that to wash our sin away. That doesn't mean that we've lost our salvation and we're getting resaved. What that means is even those that are redeemed still have sin. And we need to humbly go before Jesus and confess that to Him to keep that relationship going. Now, so Jesus sets those things aside. He sits back down with His disciples and He begins to re-participate in the meal. Well, then Jesus took two familiar parts of the meal. He took unleavened bread and a cup, and He used them as reminders of Himself. What does the bread remind us of? Who can tell me that? Adam? His body. That's exactly right. The bread reminds us of His body, and what does the cup remind us of? I know someone over here knows that. His blood. That's exactly right. So, Jesus took some bread. Okay, I happen to have some. And it was kind of odd looking bread like this, because remember they were celebrating the Passover, so they would have had unleavened bread or bread without any yeast in it. So it didn't look like the loaf of bread you get from the grocery store that's all puffed up and you slice the sandwich slices out of it. It would have been flat like this because it wouldn't have any leaven or yeast in it that would make it rise. So Jesus took the bread and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and said, "This is My body which is broken for you." Okay? Now when we do communion or the Lord's Supper, Pastor Dan doesn't take a piece of bread like this and break it and hand it to us, does he? No, he doesn't do that. We use these little things, these trays with the pretty little doily in the bottom of it, and we put some crackers in there for us to pass and get that. And the reason we do that is it's easier for so many people to get it, to pass it back and forth. And also, in our culture, we've talked about culture a lot. That's when a group of people have a certain set of things they're used to doing. That's a culture. We don't like when the same person's been touching our food, do we? If Pastor Dan touched the bread and gave it to each one of us, we wouldn't really enjoy that very much. So that's the reason why we do it a little bit differently. Now, Jesus also took a cup. I don't know if this is like the cup Jesus had. It's just one that I had down in the children's room. He took a cup and held it up and He said, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So He gave the cup to them and He did something else that was common in their culture. He passed it and they each took a drink out of the cup. Out of the same cup. They each took a drink. So, Stacy's all the way in the back. Claire is all the way in the back. I know she's there. I can barely see her head up there. All right, she's all the way in the back. So, Claire, let's fill this cup up and let's pass it and let everybody take a drink and then you take some. Are you good with that? She's shaking her head. She's not so good with that idea. So in our culture, we don't like that very much, do we? So that's why we do it this way. We use these trays, and they have these... It's loud, too. And they have these pretty little plastic cups that are disposable that we take the grape juice or wine or whatever. Jesus and the disciples were drinking wine. That's what was common in those days. But I tell you all that to tell you this. It's not important how you do it. Different churches take communion differently. Some of them you'll actually go to the front and the pastor will hand you the bread and you'll take a drink out of the cup. Some of them from the same cup. Some churches you'll get a piece of bread, you'll dip it, and then take the bread. Those are different ways of doing it. It's not so much the way you do it, the kind of juice or the kind of wine or the kind of bread. What's important is what they mean, what they symbolize, which is Jesus' broken body that was broken for us and His blood that was the sacrifice. Jesus' blood had to be sacrificed on the cross, just like the innocent lamb in the temple, and their blood was sprinkled onto the mercy seat once a year. That was the picture of Jesus dying on the cross to save us from our sins forever and ever. So, Jesus commanded His disciples to continue to do this. And this is why this is one of the ordinances of the church. It's kind of like baptism. Okay? Once you get saved, then you get baptized. Getting dunked under the water doesn't save you. Okay? It's the repentance and the act that you've done before that. Communion is much the same way. It's something that we do to remember Christ and the sacrifice that He made for us by dying on the cross. Now, and just like baptism, not everyone is able to take part in communion. It's something that's to be done, not to be done flippantly, of course, but you need to be a believer. Because how can you remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for you if you haven't accepted the free gift of salvation? So it's something that's only for believers. Now, it's how believers remember God's faithfulness and look forward to the day when He will return. So it's remembering that special, special gift, that amazing sacrifice that our Savior made for us to allow us to have fellowship with Him forever. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for the amazing sacrifice that You made. Thank You for loving us the way that You do and for blessing us in so many ways. Father, thank You and we love You. Amen. All right, it's time to take up our offering.
Let's all close our eyes and bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank You for giving us all that we have, and I pray that You will be honored greatly today as we give you what is already Yours. Please bless these offerings and use these for Your glory. We love You. Amen.
First, Lord, an offering song. Eli.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what You would say. Word of God, speak. Pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know that You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God, speak.
Everybody stand, please.
Finding myself at a loss of You, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with You, and in the quiet, hear Your voice. Your majesty, be still and know that You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty. Your holiness.
you now. I'll be seated.
Alright. Memory verse?
We're going to go over our memory verse. We're going to say it all together 2 times.
First, we are going to say it in a normal voice. We'll start at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3.
Now we are going to say it all together in a loud voice, but no screaming. We'll start at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to look for a
seated. Now we are going to say it by alternating sides.
The left.
The right.
The Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Luke 4:18.
Excellent job. All right, Sarah. Thank you. All right, Seth and Stacy.
Now we are going to play a review game called Cup Stacking. We are going to play the good side versus the bad side. We will start with the good side, which is the side. There will be a question on the screen from our Lord's Supper lesson. Please raise your hand if you know the answer, and your team leader will call on you. If you get the question wrong, the other side will have a chance to answer. If you answer the question correctly, your team leader will select someone to come up on the stage and see how many cups they can stack on top of each other. This person can be a child or an adult. You will be given one cup at a time. You will stack them upside down, then right side up, in a tower as high as you would like. You may only touch the cup you are stacking. You may not touch any of the other cups. Your stack must stand on its own and not fall over. If it falls, you will not receive any points. The number of cups you are able to stack up without them falling over is the number of points your team will receive. You may stop stacking at any time, but remember, if you ask for a cup, you must place it on the stack. And Lexi is going to be the good side team leader, and Bear is the bad side. Okay, are you ready to start?
That's okay. It's Seth, but that's all right. Seth can be bad. I mean, Bear can be bad, too.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready to start? Great. We will keep score on the whiteboard behind me. Let's start with the good side. Dad will ask your first question.
Okay. You ready? All right. Hope you got that. Here we go. All right. We're starting with the good side. All right. Here's our first question. You have to raise your hand if you know the answer, and Lexi will call on you for the good side. These are the good guys. Jesus and His disciples went into the city of Jerusalem to prepare what meal? The Passover? Is that our final answer? You guys can collaborate a little bit and let Lexi know. Everybody good with that? All right, the Passover. Eli, it is the Passover. That is correct. All right, so we need a representative from the good side to come and stack some cups. Remember, this is how you get points. Pastor Dan, all right. All right, right here, brother. Right in front of everybody so we can all see it fall. Oh, sorry. You can pick, you can choose how many you would like because this is the number of points your team gets. So if you stack 5 cups and it stands, then your team gets 5 points. If you stack 10, you get 10 points. If it falls over, you lose them all though. Our record is 15 cups, just saying.
How many are there?
Oh, there's 25 here. You're going for it, huh? No, it's got to be one on top of the other.
Oh,
just like this, yep.
Gotcha.
Straight up. A tower straight up.
No, if it's hard, I wouldn't have volunteered. I get a little stubborn. I got nervous or something.
Just to back up a little bit. If you get a fan and blow on you. Blow the cups over. All right. That's 4.
You tell me when to stop.
This is cup number 5. Cup number 6. Number 7. That's 8.
15.
That's 7. That's 8 cups. 15 is the record.
What was the person like, 6'5"?
It was my daughter.
Oh.
Pastor Dan might need this. That's 9, maybe. 9.
Y'all tell me, it's getting a little shaky. What do you think, go 10? Go 10? All right, we'll go 10. We don't want to embarrass the bad
guy. Going 10. Stopping there?
We'll stop 10.
All right, 10 points for the good side. All right, good job. All right, next question, Eli. True or false? Jesus poured wine into a basin and began washing his disciples' feet. True or false? Is that what they say or what you say? The answer is false that we're going with. Eli, the answer is false. It's true. It was water. All right, we need someone to stack cups. Need someone to stack cups. Randall. All righty. I'm afraid all the pressure is going to be on Randall. For the sake of time, we're probably going to need to quit. So if he can beat Pastor Dan, it's on.
Don't kick me out of the church.
All right, cup number 1.
Okay, where do I stack?
Just anywhere on the floor.
Okay.
Beautiful. All right, you want to stop there? Are you good? You want to go again?
Let's go. I want to beat this record. Let's go.
All right. Let's bring it. You guys have to help him out a little bit. You got this, Rendell. There's cup number 2.
Don't worry about this with my balance. Having cerebral palsy ain't really what's cracked up today.
You're doing great. Take your time. You got it. Oh, let's try one more time.
No, it's not. It's not y'all. It's just...
Nope, you're good. You're good. Awesome. Cup number 3. That's awesome. Now, Randall, I've blown it on cup number 4 a bunch of times. Look, he made it look like easy. Man.
This is child's play.
There's 4. Awesome.
I didn't spend time around the kids building blocks for nothing.
That's number 6. Woo! 6. Seven. You stopping? I mean, this is... Bring it, right?
Jesus didn't give up washing eyes. Amen? Jesus gave up, didn't give up washing eyes.
Oh!
You win this round, Pastor.
Get that one down there, Seth. All right. Well, that was fun. All righty. You guys can go ahead and sit down. Well, actually, I'm going to have the crew. If you guys will go ahead and dismiss to the back, I'm going to have them go back and stand in the lobby for you guys to greet and talk with at the end of the service. All except for Stephen. We need Stephen. All right. We'll ask everyone to please stand and we'll close in prayer. Go ahead.
Close and pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day that we have together and worship you. Thank you for all the Kids Club crew and their hard work. Please go with us this week and use us for your glory. We love you. Amen. You are dismissed.
Amen.